I pretty well made up my mind. This is where I will probably end my coaching career if the people of Arkansas want me. It's a great place to live. There's no one has better fans than we do. And we've got a lot of things going for us, and I think we can continue to have an outstanding basketball program.
And this is Ozarks at Large. With me on the phone from his home is Randy Dixon, who is with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. It is time to do another Pryor Center profile. And that voice you heard who said he would be coaching hopefully his entire career in Arkansas was Eddie Sutton, who did not end up doing that. The late Eddie Sutton, who died in May. Randy Dixon has gone through the Pryor Center archives to give us sort of an overview of Eddie Sutton's time in Arkansas. Randy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Before we hear some more of the archives, we should tell people that these are mostly archives that come from KATV that are being digitized on the Pryor Center website.
Yes, as a gift from the Tyson Foods Foundation and Barbara Tyson.
Okay. Eddie Sutton was a coach who, and it's been written in columns and since his death and even before, who really took Arkansas basketball to prominence.
He put us on the map, basically. And I guess we could start off. I kind of dug into the archives to find some things that maybe had not been said over the last week or so since he passed. We've heard a lot about his records and his wins and his coaching, but I wanted to find some things that maybe the KATV archive had that were a little different. And I thought maybe the best way to set all this up would be to hear from the legendary Paul Eales and Eddie Sutton about him coming to Arkansas.
The University of Arkansas was a football school. The Razorbacks were known for their prowess on the playing field, not on the basketball court. In fact, in 50 years of competition, Arkansas had been to the NCAA tournament only four times. The Hogs managed only 94 victories in 10 years. But in 1974, the atmosphere had changed.
But when Frank Broyles called me and asked me to come down to interview, well, I came down, and of course, Frank's a great salesman, and he said that the timing was right and that everyone connected with the University of Arkansas would do their part to make basketball become just as big as football.
A lot of people didn't realize is how much emphasis he put on the students. And I don't know how well known it is, but he had close to a 90% graduation rate. And so he put a lot of faith in his students and pushed them as much academically as he did in their athletics. But he also liked to expand, you know, their knowledge and their life. And so this is kind of a good example of what he would do. In 1980, he got the Razorbacks to be in the Great Alaskan Shootout, which was a tournament in winter in Anchorage.
Right.
And it really gave his kids an experience, and he talks about it here with Paul Eales.
We had a marvelous time. On Thanksgiving Day, our players went into the homes of the people of Anchorage. Some of them got to go fishing through the ice. Some of them got to go snowmobiling. Some of them got to fly in airplanes. We went dog sledding. We panned for gold. So those are experiences that our young men will never forget. And even if we haven't played quite as well as a result of the Alaskan Shootout, you know, I think that's secondary, because I think that that was something that all of us will treasure forever. And we're going to try to go back to the Alaskan Shootout in 83 or 84, so that the next group of young men that play for the Razorbacks will have that same opportunity.
And if anyone has lived here a long time and been a Razorback basketball fan, one thing you remember about the Razorbacks in the Alaska Shootout is the games wouldn't start till something like 11:30 or midnight here.
People would set their VCRs and record them and watch them the next day.
He was a big fan of defense and repetition and practice, wasn't he?
He worked his guys. I mean, and this was one thing a lot of coaches would give their players the holidays off, and he did not do that. He would work them on the holidays, so when they came back, you know, they were ready to play, and he would really, well, he could draw out some plays, and Channel 7 got to go back in the locker room with him and listen to him draw out this play.
We throw the ball to the high post. Moncrief slides to the wing. Count slides here, and we try to get a little bit of a screen from Shaw on Dell.
There was a time when didn't Channel 7 get courtside with him too?
Yes, yes. And we were able to put a wireless microphone on him, which was a big deal back then. Mm-hmm. And we were able to just listen to his coaching style and how he talked to his players.
And when they shoot that basketball, you make sure they don't get any second shots. And you guys in there, you start playing uphill and playing those passes. Defense, and we don't have any defense. That transition defense got to get better than that. Okay? Now, offensively, I'm telling you, playing well. In the press, we got to have an awareness where the people are. And when you get, if one guy's up on the ball, put heat on him. They got to be worse.
And of course, that is audio from courtside at Barnhill Arena. This is before Bud Walton existed.
Exactly. And he was, He was the one who actually had all the improvements made.
Right. I mean, when he first came from Creighton, Barnhill was Barnhill, but it was more barn than arena.
Hill. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And he really pushed for that and made that happen in his first couple of years.
And then, of course, we cannot talk about Arkansas and Eddie Sutton. This is back when Arkansas was in the Southwest Conference. Arkansans long have had an inferiority complex, especially when it comes to Texas. We were the only non-Texas school in that conference. We always thought the referees were against us because we were from Arkansas. And boy, the rivalry between Arkansas and Texas, Eddie Sutton and Abe Lemons, who was the coach of Texas. Boy, Arkansas fans would get hot at Abe Lemons.
Well, Abe's a very good basketball coach, Dave. I think he's certainly the funniest coach that I've ever met, and I've said this before. I think he missed his calling. He really ought to get out of the game and go on the nightclub circuit.
It was just a great rivalry.
Well, everyone loved to hate Abe Lemons, and they were so different. And I, please excuse my French, but if Sutton was a hard ass, Lemons was a smart ass. And I mean, his news conferences were like a stand-up comedy act. And he was just a cut up. At one point when his team came to Arkansas to play, he had the team in, and before the game he said, "All right, we're going to take a vote after the game, and whoever is the worst player has to stay in Arkansas for a week." We've already bought the hotel room, and you've just got to stay here. We're going to leave you here. He was quite a cut-up, even to the point that Channel 7 used to have a fundraiser every year for the Big Brothers Big Sisters, and they would have a celebrity toast and roast. And in the early 80s, they had one for Eddie Sutton, and they brought in, you know, they had the regulars, Bill Clinton and Dale Bumpers, and but they brought in Bobby Knight. Mm. And then they also brought in Abe Lemons. And Abe, it was a black tie affair, and Abe came in white overalls. And, you know, at the time, Eddie had a perned hairdo, and so he wore a big curly wig, and he came out, and this was his, these were his opening remarks at DeRose.
We're here to have a little fun, but for one moment I'd like to get serious. Once in this great country, can this happen? A boy born to a poor family fights desperately to obtain an education. Somehow manages to work his way through college. Upon graduation, he makes a vow to become the best in his field. That he succeeds is very evident. He has become one of the most capable, the most respected, the most successful basketball coaches in the history of the sport. But enough about me.
Abe Lemons speaking at a roast of Eddie Sutton. I'm talking with Randy Dixon. We're going into the Pryor Center archives to explore some of the life and career of the late Eddie Sutton. The big season for Eddie here was what, 78? Went to the Final Four.
78, yeah. All right, so let me kind of recap here.
All right.
When he was in Arkansas, his record was 260 wins, 75 losses.
Pretty good.
Not bad. 5 Southwest Conference championships, 9 NCAA appearances, and then that leads up to this 1978 Final Four appearance. And he, on his coach's show, he talked to Paul and kind of summed up the season. He was pretty pleased.
I don't believe I'll ever forget it, and I'm sure our fans won't. And I'll tell you, it's going to be a tough act to follow next year, but we do have some good players returning, and if we can have a great recruiting year, well, who's to say that we can't have another super season? But this season has been the most fun for me since I started coaching basketball 20 years ago. And not only the number of wins, Sam, but just having the opportunity to work with such great people. You know, I don't believe that as careful as we can be in recruiting, we'll ever have a group of young men that represent the state and the university as well as these guys have done.
He left Arkansas. He had become a national figure and a national program, perhaps the most storied in college basketball, had a job opening. And, well, you understand with hindsight how it happened. He left.
Well, it was Kentucky. He was at odds with Frank Broyles. And, you know, he's known for the famous quote that he would crawl on his hands and knees to Lexington to take the job, which he apologized for time and time again over the years. But this interview is with Paul Eales, and it's to the people of Arkansas, and it's a little nicer.
I gave 11 years of my life to the University of Arkansas and to that great state, and I have mixed emotions also. I had Patsy and our 3 sons in here today, and this is the only job that I would have left the U of A for, but this is the best job in college basketball, maybe the best job in the round ball sport, and I'm excited. And looking forward to coaching the Wildcat basketball team. And I just hope all the people back in the state of Arkansas understand.
Rough time at Kentucky for any number of reasons. Then he went to his alma mater, Oklahoma State, where he'd played for Hank Iba and had quite a career there, too.
Yes. Yes. I mean, it's been a great run for him. It's been, you know, ups and downs. And I was able to work with the Pryor Center on a documentary last year that a company out of Oklahoma is working on that should be released this year called Eddie. And I've been talking to Chris Hunt, who's the director, and worked with him a lot last year. And it's done. It's just hadn't been distributed yet. Mm. And fortunately, Eddie was able to see it before he died. Mm. And as a matter of fact, Chris told me that he watched it, and then he got a call, and his son, Sean, wanted to see it again. And he sent them a copy, and just the two of them watched it.
Wow.
Which they really enjoyed. But it's an amazing, amazing film, I understand. And fortunately, we have a trailer.
All right, we're going to play that to end this conversation. I want to tell everyone again, Randy Dixon is with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. We listen to archives once a week here that give us a profile of a figure, a place, or a time in Arkansas history. You can Google the Pryor Center and find much more history on their website. Randy, I'm enjoying these so much. Let's keep doing it.
Let's do it.
He was a basketball genius who understood human nature and believed in human possibility.
You kind of forget. He did what? He's won what?
Coach, congratulations! You beat the number one team in the country!
There is no question he is a Hall of Fame coach. There is no question.